Last month, UC Santa Barbara professor Jacqueline Stevens came to Arizona to research cases of American citizens who have been deported. That sounds strange, but it does happen. People locked up in detention centers often lack the resources to prove their citizenship.
Some of these people, because they find the detention centers so awful, will admit to Mexican alienage or alienage from other countries just to be out of the detention centers. So they'll be deported to Mexico, and then they'll cross the border back into the United States. And when they're caught by Border Patrol, they'll explain, oh, I'm a U.S. citizen. And then be arrested either for illegal reentry or for falsely impersonating a U.S. citizen.
Stevens found around 25 cases of U.S. citizens who had been held at the detention centers in Florence and Eloy, just north of Tucson. To better understand what was happening, she tried to attend immigration court at Eloy, but was turned away.
I was told by a guard that they would only allow entry to family members or attorneys.
She had a copy of the federal regulations stating immigration courts must be open to the public, but it didn't help. She drove over to the Florence Detention Center and was told the same thing. If she wanted in, she'd have to get clearance 2 weeks ahead of time. She was told to call the supervisor in charge, but never received a call back. Stephen says immigrants facing deportation are among the most vulnerable detainees. They're not guaranteed a lawyer, and all are at the mercy of overworked judges who, in some cases, reports have shown, were appointed more for political connections than qualifications. Stephen's experience led her to question everything about immigration courts. If they weren't following the law by granting the public access, who knew what was going on inside?
The fact that they won't even allow the general public in to their proceedings is a cause of grave concern. It allows the judges to feel like they can run things in secrecy and not have their decisions, their demeanor, the treatment of the detainees exposed to public scrutiny.
The Executive Office for Immigration Review, which runs the courts, wouldn't comment on this story for tape. Over the phone, an agency spokesperson explained that immigration courts are open to the public. But she said that when those courts are housed within detention centers like Eloy and Florence, the agency defers to ICE, which is in charge of detaining and deporting illegal immigrants. ICE Press Secretary Kelly Nantel said detention centers create access policies based on national detention standards.
Access to the facilities is dictated by the security parameters of the individual institution. So as you can imagine, there is likely a variety of different specific policies based on each individual institution.
St. Thomas University law professor Lauren Gilbert says ICE is breaking the law by requiring waiting periods and prior approval.
The problem is it has a chilling effect. I mean, part of the role of public access is to be able to ensure that the government is doing its job properly. I mean, if basically the government can make people jump through hoops, it's sort of like, you know, what people had to go through in order to be able to visit Guantanamo. You know, to make sure that when people actually get into court or that everything has been sort of sanitized. And the importance of public access is ensuring that can't happen, that they can't exercise this control over information, in the government's favor.
Gilbert learned that the immigration court in Miami had begun systematically denying entrance to the public when a student of hers was turned away. Gilbert says open immigration hearings are more important than ever now because of the abuses the government committed after 9/11. That's when the Bush administration rounded up more than 1,000 men of Middle Eastern descent. Then Attorney General John Ashcroft ordered their immigration hearings closed.
It was basically an information blackout, you know, that included neither confirming or denying whether a special interest hearing was on the court's docket.
Men were silently and secretly deported, sometimes without even their families knowing what had happened to them. In 2002, federal courts ruled Ashcroft was violating the law. The immigration hearings had to be open. In the decision, Judge Damon Keith wrote, quote, "The executive branch has sought to place its actions beyond public scrutiny, secretly deporting a class of non-citizens."
And he said, in that decision, he said, "Democracies die behind closed doors. He said the First Amendment through a free press protects the people's right to know that their government acts fairly, lawfully, and accurately in deportation proceedings. When the government begins closing doors, it selectively controls information rightfully belonging to the people. Selective information is misinformation.
ICE Press Secretary Nantel maintains that immigration courts within detention centers are indeed open to the public. She added, however, that newly appointed Homeland Security Chief Janet Napolitano has ordered a major review of the detention system that's been going on for the last 2 months.
Our agency wants to make sure that while we're maintaining the safety and security of everyone within those facilities, we're also not impeding access. And so we are absolutely going to take a look at what those local policies are and see where that needs to be changed, if in fact it does need to be changed.
Professor Stevens blogged about what happened to her, and soon immigration lawyers around the country were swapping similar stories. Dan Kowalski is a lawyer in Austin, Texas, and edits a widely read immigration bulletin. He says he and other lawyers are considering filing a lawsuit unless the Obama administration guarantees the public access to immigration courts. For Arizona Spotlight, I'm Claudine LaMonaco.